Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the final hour of Fans and the Pros here on WWL. Deuce and I will be here till 8 o'clock. And we've been talking Saints-Rams all night long, but we're going to take a look across conference lines to the AFC. We're joined now by Carrington Harrison, co-host of The Drive on our sister station 610 Sports in Kansas City. Carrington, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I know it's an honor whenever I can talk to people that I played Madden with when I was a kid. So to get the opportunity to talk to Deuce McAllister, he won me a lot of very heated Madden games back in the day.
Carrington, that's the wrong thing to say to a young old guy. Okay,
listen, Deuce is an old man, and he's still coping with it. So I always appreciate when someone calls and reminds him. Just like today when I found out he was in high school in 1994. Oh my gosh!
Come on, man.
I don't want to offend anybody out there that was in high school in 1984. But I'm just, you're not sitting across from me. But Carrington, thanks for joining us, man. We've been talking obviously a lot about the Saints and the Rams matchup, but across the way, there's another huge game this week, the AFC Championship game taking place in Arrowhead, which I think for Saints fans, if you could put the Superdome in an outdoor stadium, it would probably be a lot like Arrowhead, one of the greatest fan bases in all of sports. And you guys out in Kansas City, and we've been talking about what's it like in L.A., what's it like in New Orleans, and we've determined it's a lot different in New Orleans right now than it is in L.A., and I would imagine Kansas City is a lot more like New Orleans right now. I'm sure the fan base is absolutely fired up for this game.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is the first time the Chiefs have actually hosted the AFC Championship game. You got to think about it. The Indianapolis, the Colts, they had more wins. They had more playoff wins at Arrowhead than Kansas City. So to really couple it with kind of getting over the hump with the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, and then to now play the New England Patriots, I think that's given this game extra juice. Obviously, it would be pumped for the AFC Championship game, but they had already played Los Angeles two separate times this season, them being in the AFC West, to get the opportunity to kind of end the dynasty. At least that's the conversation here in Kansas City for the New England Patriots. Has everybody fired up?
Carrington, young man, a D-tackle for you guys, and he's Mississippi State. I think it was, 10 straight games, 11 straight games with the sack, Chris Jones. What has it been like to cover Chris Jones and just to see him develop and grow? He's a guy that can play tackle and or end. I think you guys use him more at tackle, and he can play the nose. Just what has it been like to cover Chris Jones?
Man, Chris Jones, he's been a lot of fun this year. He has a lot of personality. He's kind of been one of the mouths of the Chiefs, one of the faces of the Chiefs. Obviously, Mahomes is getting a lot of pub. Tyreek Hill, but on that defense, Chris Jones, you bring up this season when he had those sacks in 10 straight games. I'm not calling him Aaron Donald. I think Aaron Donald might be the best defensive player in the NFL, but Chris Jones has played probably as close to Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, as probably any pass rusher in the NFL. He's been absolutely dominant this season.
Looking at the weather report, that's one thing that an old man like myself love. I have to be able to do. Early on, it was, hey, look, you may freeze if you're out here. But now the report has kind of changed. It's only going to be, I think, reportedly about 33 degrees. How much of an impact, because we saw last week they were able to play in the snow, but how much of an impact will this have on this team, if any at all?
I mean, going into the beginning of the week, as you guys said, it was supposed to be 5 degrees at kick. It was supposed to be negative 15 degrees wind chill. They were calling it the coldest game at Arrowhead. They were using Arctic blast to describe how cold it was going to be at Arrowhead. Now everybody's kind of optimistic about the weather report. I don't really think it has that much of an effect on the game. I mean, Mahomes' arm strength, I think, has shown that he can throw indoors, outdoors with the wind and the rain and the snow. So I don't think the elements are going to have much of a factor on Sunday.
Carrington, you bring up Pat Mahomes, and obviously a tremendous season from a second-year player, and it's a guy that we almost saw in New Orleans. I know that that's who the Saints were targeting, and I think the Kansas City Chiefs did too, and that's why they traded up and grabbed him in the draft last year. But How exciting do you think it'd be? I mean, you, listen, you're in Kansas City, you're a Chiefs guy, you guys follow the Chiefs all year. How exciting would it be to see a Pat Mahomes, Drew Brees Super Bowl? At the end of the day, very different quarterbacks, but it's one of the most prolific quarterbacks in NFL history going up against a guy that at a young age looks like he may be headed down the same path.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning of the season, a lot of people were using the Aaron Rodgers-Brett Favre comparison. I was a little bit skeptical just because when you throw out two of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL history, I think they're kind of skeptical. But, I mean, Mahomes has been as advertised, 5,000 yards this season, 50 touchdown passes. He has a chance to put together, I think you could argue at the end of it, maybe the greatest season we've ever seen from a quarterback if you factor in winning the Super Bowl. Because if you remember, Peyton, when he had that big year, they didn't win the Super Bowl. Brady, when he had that big year, they didn't win the Super Bowl. So if you can factor in what Mahomes has done during the regular season, and if he can get this team to the Super Bowl and they can win it, I think Mahomes is going to have an argument for kind of putting that season together. In regards to Drew Brees, it would be kind of cool just given the fact of we talk so much about Brees versus Mahomes when it comes to MVP that now if Mahomes had a chance to go up against Drew Brees in the Super Bowl, in what I think if the Saints go, you got to think Saints fans are going to fill up Atlanta. That game could be a lot of fun indoors, especially given what we saw Chiefs and Rams early this year. You guys saw Rams and Saints early this year, how many points were scored. I mean, you got to think over-under on that game is, what, 78 maybe? I mean, it's going to be a lot of points scored in that game.
Carrington Harrison, co-host of The Drive and 610 on 610 Sports in Kansas City. Carrington, thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it. Have a great time this weekend.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, buddy. Now, a couple things, Deuce. First of all, Patrick Mahomes is not going to win the Super Bowl because the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. So that's kind of a moot point. And secondly, just throwing this out there, Chris Jones, young man you brought up from Houston, Mississippi, right? Born in, you can't write this stuff, 1994. I'll leave it
really?
There. 1994, buddy. Oh, while man. You were in Carnegie Hall doing your toe tap dancing in front of everyone in your boys' show choir, Chris Jones was just being born. I think that's interesting. That's not just a coincidence.
I don't have anything to say
about that. I'll leave it right there.
I don't have anything to say about that.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, again, we've got some great guests this hour. We're still going to meet with Jonathan Vilma. We're going to meet with Rob Ninkovich, talk about the other side of that AFC matchup game. And we'll finish up this Saints discussion, getting ready for the big NFC Championship game this weekend in New Orleans. More Fans and the Pros when we return here on WWL. This was a request earlier from the text line. It's a good one. Santeria. Do you know who this is?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Sublime?
I done heard the song, but I don't know who sang it.
It's the second person that we've had on tonight from Long Beach. Now, Deuce is still fighting that Snoop Dogg's born in Mississippi.
I want to correct myself. His parents are born in Mississippi. He was born in Long Beach, moved back a little bit in between, but yes, I was wrong.
Deuce
is from Long Beach.
Deuce admits defeat.
Yeah, I was wrong.
That's all right. That's all right. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. We're going to check in here in a little bit with Matt Baker from the Believe Podcast Network, covers the Rams. So, Deuce, we're 2 days away, right? All kinds of discussions.
What do you have to do 2 days away? What all do you have to do before we put this bow on this game come Sunday?
Well, I have an article to write.
Okay.
That I need to finish up tonight. That'll okay. probably be done tonight.
Okay.
I need to finish my chart memorization.
Uh-huh.
One of these days I'll post a chart. People can see what I call off of. Now they're all different and
right.
Mine's a little unique, I think. It works for me. Listen, I didn't know any better, right? You just do whatever. I found one that worked for me,
that's what
we use. So I got to finish that up and finish up some memorization and get ready for this game and drink a lot of tea with ginger. That's
Well, I'm going to go to Matt Baker. We'll go to Matt Baker, and then I'll harass you what else you have to do before we wrap this game up.
All right. Welcome in, Matt Baker, host of Believe in Rams from the Believe Podcast Network. And, Matt, thank you for joining us tonight, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
So lots of talk this week. Obviously, I think more than anything, as a Saints, personality here in New Orleans, you get a lot of Saints questions, and I think everybody has been impressed and even nervous about what the Los Angeles Rams were able to do against the Dallas Cowboys, one of really two teams that beat the Saints this year, counting out that Week 17 game where the Saints rested Drew Brees and a majority of several starters. And you know, you look at that game last week, 273 yards on the ground. C.J. Anderson comes out of nowhere to kind of revitalize the running game for the L.A. Rams. And do you think it's that this team has kind of refound itself after a kind of a tough stretch there, the Chicago Bears, the Philadelphia Eagles, and then all of a sudden this run game reemerges, and they've looked awfully tough since then?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they came out of that bye, and obviously they came out of the gates hot this year, and I think they cruised a little bit towards the back end. Even offensively, it looked like it almost looked like they're holding a little bit back. They looked a little bit different in terms of the way they were approaching the game, just with less motion, less movement. But they seem to have found their stride, and obviously you mentioned C.J. Anderson. He's been a nice surprise. But, you know, obviously last week the defense stepped up against the run, which they've been weak at the majority of the year. So it was nice to see.
What type of difference will Talib make in this matchup? We figure that he will shadow Michael Thomas, you know, and he did not play in that first game. But what type of difference will he make in this matchup?
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. I mean, Thomas is still going to get his catches. He's such a great ball player. But I don't think you're going to see him go off for probably 200 again. With Talib back and likely shadowing him all over the field. So, you know, someone else from the Saints is going to have to step up, whether it be Smith or Ted Ginn. And obviously Marcus Peters is shown to give up some big plays. So I'd expect one of the second receivers for the Saints to have a decent day.
One of the things when you look at just matchups, you want to know who's healthy and who's down. Well, the Saints will have for sure one player, Keith Kirkwood, down, and possibly Ben Watson also down. But when you look at this Rams team, pretty much, you know, they're healthy. They don't report anybody injured or banged up on the injury report the whole week. You know, how much of a factor will that play into, you know, them having all of their weapons into this game as well?
Yeah, I think last week was important for Gurley to ease him back into the game. Obviously, they had, you know, control for the majority of the game, and C.J. Anderson was running so well, they got to take a little bit of the load off Gurley to get him another week. I know McVay mentioned that it was some conditioning that held him back, but, you know, I think just an extra week, they had the bye, he had a couple weeks off. That's obviously huge for him because I expect him to be a workhorse this week.
Talking with Matt Baker, host of Believe in Rams from the Believe Podcast Network. Matt, obviously the Rams came to New Orleans earlier in the year. The Saints come out 45-35 victorious. What do the Rams have to do differently? What happened in that game that the Rams have to do differently to get a win this time in what will be a very, very hostile environment in New Orleans?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to have to run the ball. I think that first matchup, they had under 100 yards total rushing. Gurley couldn't get going. They got behind early, had to throw the ball. And that's not really their game. They need to play with – they need to run the ball. They need to get play action going. And I think they'll try to establish that better this time. But obviously the Saints had the recipe, so I'm sure they'll load up to stop the run again.
This is Matt Baker, host of Believe in Rams, Believe Podcast Network. Matt, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. I know everybody's busy this week with the big game, but enjoy the weekend, and thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Matt.
So I think he's right. They have to run the football. And I think that's something that they were not able to do the last time that these two teams met up. And listen, I think I think he's dead on. I think that's the thing right there. If you're a Saints fan, what are you looking for? It's for the Saints to continue to stop the run.
Well, you have to be able to stop the run, particularly with this group, particularly when they have two backs, you know, just last week that went over 100 yards, and both of those guys can hurt you. We talked a little bit about it that first game, Gurley having only 82 total yards, 60-something, I think 63 rushing.
Yeah.
And so you won't stop them, but you have to be able to slow them down. I think getting pressure also on the quarterback will definitely help.
All right, so you wanted to ask me what else I have to do before the game?
Yeah. Yeah, before, you know, we got roughly 48 hours, less than 48.
I got to wash my shirt from last week.
That's a good start. Yeah, that's a good start.
I knew you would appreciate that one.
I do.
I have to do an account of all of the various markers and pens that I bring to the games. Okay. I got to always go through that.
Yeah.
I got to have my charts printed.
Because the internet may all of a sudden...
You can't rely purely on electronics, right?
No.
I call off of an iPad, but I don't trust it, right? Like, it works.
I don't trust it at all.
It's worked every game, but I print one out just in case, so I'm prepared. I think that's about all I've got left. What are you searching for here?
I was just asking.
I feel like you've got something that I...
I don't have anything. I was just asking what all you had to do.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to flip your microphone again? Deuce last week, after the 14-0 start, flipped his headset. So now it's on the right side. He's been calling with it on his left side all year long, and all of a sudden I look over, and it's over on the right. Are you going to leave it over on the right?
I will start where it's comfortable. I will start on the right side, but if the Saints get off to a slow start, I normally write with the black pen. I'll switch up to a blue. I have a red just in case as well to be able to switch over. I also carry an extra shirt in my bag just in case I need to switch and change that out, and also another pullover just in case I need to switch and change that out. So because, I'm prepared.
Because, of course, Deuce is cold in the Superdome, right?
I'm cold in the Superdome, but I got to make sure that they are clicking and ready to go. We can't let this opportunity slip through our hands.
All I know is I hope we never get to that red pin. That sounds pretty ominous.
That red pin is ominous. So is a shirt change. Hey, I have yet to look over this year. If I look over and Deuce doesn't have a shirt on, I'm going to be like, I don't know what's happened up here. It's gone bad, fans.
Well, just think about the broadcast team next to you looking through the window. Like, what's going on in there?
Well, if I can try to get to the restroom during a broadcast, I know I can change shirts during a broadcast.
Well, let me tell you, you couldn't get to the bathroom during the broadcast. I had to carry the show for 8 minutes by myself, which was an interesting experience. Speaking of the broadcast crew next door, Maurice Jones-Drew is the color analyst for the LA Rams, which I don't get because he didn't play for the Rams.
He stays out there.
But he stays out there, and he's the color guy. Maurice Jones-Drew better not even attempt to go into the French Quarter to grab a meal. He might be like the most hated analyst in all of sports TV right now. If you're a Saints fan,
not Saints friendly to say the least.
He's been riding this. The Saints can't win all season long. So I don't know. When we come back after a short break, we're going to be joined by Rob Ninkovich, former New Orleans Saint, former New England Patriot. Talk about the other side of the conference championship matchup. More when we return here on WWL.
Do you believe in love?
Get him, Deuce. Go ahead. Sing it.
I got to hit that high note. Come on. I blend.
Turn it
up.
He needs a little more.
Blend.
Yeah,
on,
he needs
need
more volume if he's going
to
sing to share.
Come on now. Do you believe in love?
I love that this is the one he's like, I want to sing to this one.
That's my song.
Deuce
right
is
there.
Literally in his chair dancing right now. It's not since Deuce told me his favorite Christmas song was sung by Dolly Parton that I was this surprised in this during this show. That's pretty good. I love it. Let's go to the phone lines. Anthony and Metairie's been on hold for a while. Thanks for holding, man. Welcome to Fans and the Pros.
What's up, guys? Y'all great.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, so I just wanted to say that I'm really not nervous about the Saints' defense. I'm more nervous about the offense because the defense, the last 4 out of 5 weeks that we actually played, and then rest our starters. We only gave up 2 points in the second half. So, I mean, I feel more confident about the defense. The offense, the number two wide receiver spot kind of makes me a little nervous.
The number two wide receiver spot for the Saints?
Yes.
Well, that would be Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn
right,
plays
right.
Number two spot. I mean, since he's been back, I think from a passing standpoint, they've opened it up a little bit more.
Okay.
I mean, you go back to Pittsburgh, you go back to the last game. I mean, because Carolina, I wouldn't necessarily count that game, but you go back to when he played against Pittsburgh, and then you go back to the last game, I think that it's opened up the offense a little bit more from a coverage standpoint, but also some of the routes that he runs as well as that Michael Thomas can run as well.
Yeah, that's what we need. I was looking a little bit at the Dallas and Rams game, and I seen the Rams are playing a little bit of zone coverage that, and Dallas's wide receivers were able to get open a little bit. Pretty easy for Dak Prescott, you know, some of the plays I was looking at. So I think, you know, if they play some zone, I think Drew Bell will carve them up a little bit.
Well, that's traditionally what they play. I mean, so it'll be interesting to see if they go to more of a man coverage type of look, but that's traditionally what they play.
Anthony, thank you for the phone call, man. We appreciate it. We are joined now by another former teammate. This is like the never-ending string of former teammates that we have tonight. This one being Rob Ninkovich, former New England Patriots defensive end. For a short time, former Saints long snapper, which is mind-blowing to me when you think back in the period of time. Rob Ninkovich, obviously, fifth-round pick for the Saints in 2006. He was in my draft class, second 2006 draft class D on tonight, and then goes on have a great career in New England. Rob, thanks for joining us, man.
What's up, guys? I'm doing good.
Now, Rob, Deuce, you know, Rob's moving back to Louisiana. You know, he married a Louisiana girl. He met his wife, Paige, right after we moved down here. It was very quick that he met Paige. She's a great girl. She's from New Orleans, and they're moving into the neighborhood next to mine. But Rob's in the middle of the longest house build process in the history of houses.
A few change orders going on there?
Man.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's just it's a little bit slower pace down south. I'm not used to that. Okay. But, you know, again, it's hard to build a house when you're not living there. So going back and forth has not been easy. But it's good. It's, you know, I'm taking my time with it. Okay. So, it'll be, when it's done, it'll be great. You'll have to come over, and Paige won't be spilling drinks all over your shoes like she was back in 06, okay?
That may have happened. It may or may not have happened.
It may have happened. It might have happened. I think we were in Red Eye or something. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it was Fruit Punch. I'm pretty sure we were at the library, I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, we were studying. Yeah,
right.
We were getting,
That's right.
We were reading. expanding our minds. That's what we were doing.
So, Rob, kind of looking across the conference lines here, the AFC Championship this weekend in Kansas City, and obviously your long career with the Patriots. First of all, unbelievable the success that the Patriots have had. This is the eighth straight conference championship game, so that in and of itself is amazing. But the New England Patriots have not had a ton of luck going on the road in this game in the past few years. What about this team could change those fortunes in Kansas City?
Well, you know, I think that you kind of hit that right on the head. This year they had struggled on the road, so I can guarantee you that Bill Belichick is beating those guys over the head with the fact that this year they didn't play well on the road. So, you know, they're going to be in a hostile environment. Kansas City is a very tough place to play. And I know you know that crowd noise can really affect an offensive system. And, you know, playing in a place like Kansas City is going to be a challenge for those guys. And Kansas City seems to play better on defense with that crowd noise. The defensive front gets off the ball a lot quicker. Their secondary is able to be on the same page a lot easier with Barry in the backfield. So we don't know if he's going to play, but I'm anticipating him playing for this AFC Championship game. And I just know how Bill works. I know how he really emphasizes a lot of the detail stuff in the playoffs. And look, it's a one-game season for these guys. They understand that. And if they don't play well and they play like they have all year on the road, then it's going to be a one game, one and done. They're going back home and it's over with. So, you know, I think that they understand the consequences if they don't play well. And I think it's going to be a great game. That being said, the weather could be an issue for KC. You know, I think that they have a really powerful offense, but it gets tough to throw the ball down the field and to run those crisp routes when it's 15 degrees outside.
Rob, what's the feel as far as Brady, you know, with whether it's the media, whether it's fans wanting to see, hey, look, you know, does he still have it? You know, he's up in age for a quarterback. What's the dynamics of that, you know, as far as what you're hearing?
Yeah, Deuce, you know, I think that it's tough when you're 41 years old. I've never seen guys at 41 play at the level that Tom does. It really is unheard of. So for him to be in this position for as many years in a row and be as competitive as he is, every year, year in and year out. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal, and it speaks for, you know, his competitiveness and really just how hard he pushes himself. I think that the general understanding of everyone in the area was this was a tough year for Tom as far as, you know, being what everything expected from last year being an MVP. Coming into this year, everyone thought, like, oh, he's going to be right there. And it wasn't an easy year, but guess what? It was still productive, and he's a very, 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 very good quarterback. And in the playoffs, I don't think, besides him and Drew Brees, I don't think there's another guy in the NFL that is as clutch in pressure situations as those two guys. So, I mean, I just think that he's a tremendous player and tremendous competitor, just like your quarterback.
Talking to former New England Patriots defensive end Rob Ninkovich, also former Saint. It's written as former New England. It bothers me, but whatever, Rob. I mean, you did
well,
good
was,
out there.
I was there for a sip of coffee, okay? Yeah. I had a coffee and a beignet, and then I was snapping. And, you know, Sean,
hey, you
he understands it's a business. You know, they had a few high-priced DNs that I wasn't going to take their jobs, you know, with Charles right. Grant and Will. So, you know, it's not like I was going to come in and be the guy from – Miami that didn't play in a couple of years and take their jobs.
Listen, Rob came down. He found his wife and he got out of Dodge, and now he's got to come back. So we're going to see a lot more coming up. But Rob, you played in 7 straight AFC championship games. So we're speaking to an expert on conference championship games. What is this game like for a player? I always felt like the conference championship games were almost more pressure because getting to the Super Bowl and missing out this close to the Super Bowl was a big deal. But what's it like for a player walking into a conference championship game knowing you're one away from the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I think that when you're younger, you don't realize how hard it is to get to that game. You know, my first, second time in the AFC championship game, you just take it like, oh yeah, we can get back here. But then you realize as the years go on, man, there's a lot of things that go into this. You know, the whole off season, you go to training camp, then you got to play 16, then you got to stay healthy for all that, which is even harder. And then you got to get into the playoffs and win. So, you know, as I got older, I just really tried to cherish the moment and say, hey, look, like, I don't know how many chances I have at this game. Nothing's going to be easy to get back to this, so I better go out there and play my best and execute and get to the Super Bowl, because, I mean, that's the game that you dream about as a kid. That's the game that everyone wants to play in, is the Super Bowl and have a chance at a Super Bowl ring. But I will tell you this, to get to the Super Bowl and not win that thing, I mean, that is probably the worst pain that anyone can feel. So having done that, I would almost rather not make it than get there and feel that pain, because it's tremendous. So for me to get there, you know, playing 3 Super Bowls, win 2 of them, that one loss really hurt. So I would just tell all the guys that are going to play in this game, like, hey, don't be tight. You know, I'd rather a guy at 100 miles an hour and loose than 85 and tight. So, you know, go out there, play fast and play together and just – make sure that you leave it all out on the field.
Former Saint and Patriot defensive end Rob Ninkovich. Rob, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get to see you out in Atlanta in a couple weeks.
Definitely. All right, guys.
Thanks,
right,
Rob. Buddy.
Thanks, Rob. All right. 17 minutes left on Fans and the Pros tonight. When we come back, we're going to be joined by his eloquence, Jonathan Vilma. Sir Jonathan Vilma will be joining us to talk about this game. More Fans and the Pros when we return here on Saints Radio WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. This is always one of the practice songs, Deuce, when you play any California team. Usually the first, to be honest with you. It's a good one. It makes sense. Well done, Mark. Mark's done a great job. How about a round of applause for Mark Menard tonight? It's been fantastic. DJ Jazzy Menard. We'll come up with something better than that. I'm sorry. We're joined now by a very special Saints guest, one of Fans and the Pros' favorite guests, His Highness, His Eloquence, Mr. Jonathan Vilma.
Sir Vilma.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great, getting ready for a great weekend in the Superdome.
Are we back in New Orleans right now?
Yeah, actually, I just landed, and I'm trying to check in. And then I got a call from my two favorites, Deuce and Shreve. So I got to pick up. I got to answer and talk a little football.
Well, we appreciate that. First of all, I want to give you props. JV, one of the very few people I saw taking Clemson outright in the national championship game. That proved to be a pretty decent take on that game. And we're no longer in the college football season, so we're not going to harass you about the Miami Hurricanes. This is all about the Saints and the NFC championship game. And JV, I want to go back. 2009, the Saints take on the Minnesota Vikings in the Superdome, the last time this game was played in the Superdome. As a player, your memories of that game, how was that game different from every other game you ever played in the Superdome?
Wow, man, you know, I was just talking about it with one of my favorite coaches, linebacker coach at the time, Joe Vitt, and I told him straight up, that was the hardest game I had played in ever in my career. And we always talk about the atmosphere, the electricity, you know, the intensity. But there was never a game that I had been a part of where the two teams literally were playing and outwilling each other. That's all it came down to, was a battle of wills. And it was a mindset determination by us to go out and win the game. And thank God Garrett Hartley booted that one through the uprights, because frankly, it could have gone either way. It was one of those games where if you played it 10 times, it literally would have gone 5-5. That's just the way I feel about it. But it was our will to win, our will to compete, being in the dome with the fans. I mean, it was electric. It was the toughest game. Like, matter of fact, we said, had we had to play that next week, we probably would have gotten our ass whooped. Because I was so spent from that game alone, I don't think I would have had the energy emotionally to get up for a game the following week.
JV, talk about how the fans can play a part in this game. And then, you know, I remember you and Scott talking about going back to the playoffs, or at least the Super Bowl, you guys giving a fake call or at least showing one front and then changing it on Peyton Manning a lot. Do you see the Saints maybe using that type of technique this week as well?
Short answer, no, because the Saints haven't done that all season long. So it's hard to implement in, you know, 3 days of practice when it comes down to it. It's hard to implement that if you have not done it all season. You don't want your players to have to start thinking, especially defensively. You don't want your players to have to start thinking all of a sudden in the most important game, just let them go out and play fast. The fans, though, that should have been the first thing I mentioned about the NFC Championship game. The fans were a critical part of the game, because they were so damn loud when Minnesota's offense was up and we were up defensively. I could not hear anybody, I'm talking 2 feet away from me, I could not hear them speak, screaming at the top of my lungs. They couldn't hear me, I couldn't hear them. So it was great, because I know that the first thing for offense is forget players, X's and O's, good quarterback, is scheme and communication. You got to communicate. So if they can't communicate because they can't hear, they got to stay basic. And now it's an easy scheme to run or to scheme against, when you can only do one check, if that. You can maybe get another check out, and that's it, because your offensive line can't hear you. Wide receivers definitely can't hear. Your running back can't hear. So I love the fact that it's at home in the loud-ass dome, so that we can have the fans get it rocking and make it damn near impossible for Jared Goff to speak and communicate.
JV, big story coming out of L.A. this week was obviously the 273 yards on the ground they amassed against the Dallas Cowboys. What's the Saints defense have to do? They've lost Sheldon Rankins. It's a big loss along the front. What do the Saints need to do to try to bottle up that running game of the Rams?
You know, nothing special, to be honest with you. The Saints have been very good against the run all season long. So there is nothing special they have to do. When you take a deeper dive into that Cowboys-Rams game, I mean, the first thing is the Rams were tired, and you can see it. Like, the Rams were defensively one of the better defenses throughout the season, and they relied on speed. Their game was speed, speed at the DM position, speed at the linebacker position. And the guys were frankly tired, and that just goes from having to play the game the week before, then you have to travel out west. You try to go a day early to get your legs up under you and get ready, and you couldn't do it. And then you have a fresh L.A. Rams team that said, we don't have to pass it. We're just going to pound it down your throat. You can't stop us. So that's not going to happen against the Saints. Saints will be ready for that. They'll stop the run. I don't want to make that a bigger issue than what it is. It's not that big of a deal.
Saints great. Jonathan Vilma, JV, one of the best fans of this show. We appreciate all the time you gave us this season, man, and hopefully we'll get to see you tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah, actually, I look forward to talking to you guys in a couple weeks when the Saints win. So let's do it.
Absolutely.
Sounds great, JV. You take care. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
Saints great. Jonathan Vilma. More from Fans and the Pros when we return here on WWL. Welcome back. Oh, there we go. Who's that?
This is LA's own Motley Crue
that we
flipped over with this song because they're talking about being the Saints.
Right. I also saw, I'll get to that another time. All right, Deuce, prediction time, Saints-Rams this Sunday. Who you got? What do you got?
28-24 for me. I could see this game getting in the 30s as well, low 30s, but I do like the Saints to win this game. I think the crowd is going to have, I call them fan impact plays, at least five, where they forced them to take a timeout, false start, something of that nature.
Who's got the big game for the Saints?
Mark Ingram.
All right. I'm going 30-27 Saints. I do think we get into that. I think it's a late field goal from Will Lutz. Maybe that's just me hoping that we get to have that cool of a moment again. It's going to be a great game, I think. For me, Cam Jordan, I think, makes a big difference in this one. I think that's a good matchup for the Saints over with Rob Havenstein. He did a good job against him last time. Did not get home, but applied a lot of pressure. So I'm going to go with Cam Jordan. I think he's got to have a big game, but it's going to be super excited. So everybody, make sure and join us. Following us tonight, coming up right after us here, you've got Seth Dunlap on the last lap with his special guest host, David Wrath of Khan, joining Seth to break down both conference games. They've got two-minute drill trivia. All kinds of good stuff. Seth does an awesome job, so make sure you listen to that. And Deuce and I want to thank Mark Bernard, our DJ on the ones and twos in there, producing for us tonight, as well as our program director, Diane Newman.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.